encouraged to see this number out tonight, ready to study, show your dedication to the Lord and your wanting to worship God in spirit and truth. Always enjoyed Sunday evening services. Before the work week begins, we can come together and spend time in praise of our Lord and to study. If you have your Bible tonight, if you look in the book of Genesis and the 28th chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study. The book of Genesis and the 28th chapter and verse 16 in particular. Genesis 28, verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." At this particular time, you'll remember that Jacob had already deceived his father Isaac and had taken the birthright that had belonged to Esau, his brother. And you'll remember at this time, Jacob had been told not to take a wife from among the Canaanite women, as is described in verse 1, but to go to the homeland of his mother, Rebekah, and there find a wife, a helpmate, suitable for him to be his companion for life. And when you read about this man, you'll find that as he is traveling back to the homeland of his mother, he stops at a place near Bethel, and you'll find that he takes a stone and he uses that stone as a pillow. And then in your Bible, in the book of Genesis and the 28th chapter, you'll find at this time that it appears Jacob had no consciousness of the nearness of God. When he went that night to go to sleep, he did not recognize that God was there. And Jacob did not recognize the nearness of God. So I want you to understand tonight, as we begin our study, you see a picture of the nearness of God unrecognized. You'll see that God was near, and Jacob says in verse 16, "God was here, and I knew it not." Then I begin to think about that statement Jacob made. God is here, and it reminded me of something the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm. If you have your Bible, look in Psalm 139 and notice some things David said. In Psalm 139, David says in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee for your presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." David said, "I can try to escape the presence of God, but wherever I go, God is there." You know, that is a thought that's mighty hard for us to grasp. With our finite minds, to try to get into our mind the fact that wherever we are in the universe, that God is there. And notice what David said in verse 6. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." David said, even in my thoughts and before I speak the words, he said in verse 4, "God, you already know what I'm going to say." In verse 2, "You already know my thoughts from afar off." So I recognize tonight that God is all-knowing, God is all-seeing, and God is all-present. God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, God is everywhere. So then I want you to think about, for a few moments of our time, that though God is everywhere, sometimes individuals just do not recognize it. And what I want to talk about is the nearness of God unrecognized. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll talk about the nearness of God recognized. But for these few moments, let us understand there have been times that people lived and they did not recognize the nearness of God. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 24th chapter, you'll find Jesus is teaching about Noah. Jesus is teaching about the days we can read about in Genesis chapter 6, where the mind of man was upon evil continuously. And in Matthew chapter 24, look at what Jesus says in verse 38 and 39. When he's talking about the days of Noah, he says, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know." Underscore that. God was near. God was going to send a flood, but they did not recognize it and did not know until the flood came and took them away, that so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. I want you to recognize God was there. God knew that their mind was up on evil continuously. God even repented that He ever created man. So I want you to look in your Bible in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter and see the wickedness. And in their wickedness, they did not recognize God was near. But then if you take your Bible, you can look in the book of Daniel in the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of Daniel in the 5th chapter, you'll recall that the city of Jerusalem had fallen. They'd been taken into Babylonian captivity. And the Persians had come and overthrown the Babylonians, and now they're in captivity with them. And you'll remember a man by the name of Belshazzar was king. And they had taken the holy vessels of the temple and were profaning them, using them in a drunken way, in a party of sorts. Then in Daniel chapter 5, you'll remember that Belshazzar was looking at the wall and the finger of God began to write something. The whole time that man lived in rebellion, he did not recognize the nearness of God. God was there every time that man violated the holy will of God, and that man chose not to recognize God's nearness. But I want you to realize when you read Daniel chapter 5 that God was there. God recognized their sinfulness, God saw their wickedness, and God brought judgment upon them. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the New Testament, in the book of Acts and the 17th chapter. In the book of Acts and the 17th chapter, notice if you will when Paul comes to the city of Athens. And when Paul is in the city of Athens, he goes about and he witnesses all the altars they've made to the pagan gods and the false gods. And they even had one to the unknown God. And when Paul comes in, he says, let me tell you about this one that you worship without knowing. He said, he's the true and the living God. He is the one true God. And what does he say about him? He says, I want you to understand that he is near every one of us. God is there. I'm fearful that many people have in their mind that God is way up in heaven and God doesn't see and God doesn't know and God doesn't care what's happening here. But I want you to understand that the Bible shows us time and time again that God's presence is here. God sees, God knows, God cares. But then if you take your Bible, look again in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter. And we'll look at one more example this evening. In your Bible in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter, look at the rich man. And notice that this man had begun to be wealthy. And this man said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my older barns and I'm going to build new barns that I can store all my crops, I can store all my goods. And that man said, I'll take my ease, I'll sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. But that man forgot one important thing. That man, though he'd been blessed greatly, forgot from whom the blessings flow. That man forgot to give praise to God. And if you remember in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter and about verse 20, God said, fool. Oh, I want you to underscore that in your Bible. If you ever thought that God looked down and God said, I am here. You've left me out. You've never thanked me. You've never praised me. You've never thought about the blessings from where they came. And he said, tonight your soul will be required of you. You've been so distracted by all the earthly things, you've never set your mind on heavenly things. And yet, my friend, God was there, though the rich farmer never did recognize him. Now then, that brings up for just a few moments, why did they not recognize God? Have you ever stopped to think about why did Jacob and the others not recognize God being there? I think, first of all, they failed to recognize God because they failed to see the omnipresence of God. They failed to see the mercy of God and what God would do for them and God has helped them with. But I want to tell you a second thing. I think they missed the blessings because they were spiritually dull. I want you to think about, my friend, here were men who were full of trickery. Here was Jacob, a man who was deceitful. And here was a man who, though he believed in God, failed to see that God could get by without him. You ever thought that Jacob was always scheming? Jacob, in every case, instead of praying first and thinking about what he should do according to God's will, thought of his plan, and then prayed later. A lot of us do that, don't we? We want God to confirm what our plans are instead of reading God's Word and praying and coming up with what God's will would be first. So here was a man who instead of praying first, schemed first. And then when his schemes would fall apart, then he would pray out. I want you to recognize there are a lot of people who are spiritually dull. Think about the rich man. You think about Belshazzar. They weren't just spiritually dull. They were spiritually dead. They were spiritually blind. They were so distracted by the world, they didn't even consider that God was near. The last thing on their mind was the fact that God is watching and that God is near. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, look at what Jesus had to say in verse 15. In Matthew 13, 15, he says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn." You know, a lot of people tonight are still in sin because they will not open their ears to God, open their eyes to God, and open their hearts to God, even though God is there. Now, I want to take that. I want to make application the lesson. Do you recognize tonight that God is here? That God's presence is everywhere, and He's here. He sees what's going on at Eastside. I remember when Jackson was younger, he made a great statement. I loved the question. He said, "How can God see everybody everywhere? There's billions of people." He said, "Does He have security cameras on us?" I thought, that's a good question. You know what that shows me? Even at my age at 40, and I'm sure Brother Butler at age 82, whatever our age, Brother Brantley at 90, we don't fully understand the majesticness and the greatness of God, that He can see all things. I believe it by faith. If He knows my thoughts, He knows the words before I speak them, then I'll tell you, my friend, His presence is here tonight. Oh, that doesn't mean He's sitting beside you, but I'll tell you what it means, that He sees our hearts. He knows our worship. God is there. God is not a man like us. God is a spirit. And God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. God sees from heaven. God knows the intent of our heart. It matters not where you are. God is there. Young men, young ladies, you may think mom and daddy don't know what you're doing. You may think you'll get by with whatever action you want to do. I'll tell you one thing. God is there. And before I do something, I need to stop and say, if I can't thank God for it, I best not do it. But I'll tell you the sad part. So many times, God is not recognized. Many times it's because people are spiritually dull. Their minds aren't on spiritual things. It's like we read this morning in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, that their affections are not set upon heavenly things and spiritual things, but we're so set upon things of this world. And we become so distracted, we don't like to think about the fact that God sees and God knows. And so many people do not recognize Him because they are so distracted. It's very difficult to see God in worship if we're distracted by everything else. I wish I could get young men and young ladies to see the importance of focusing when we're here. I wish I could get young men and young ladies as well as adults to see that. That if we aren't seeing God when we worship, and we're not seeing God when we study and when we pray, then my friend, it's going to be so easy to fall into distraction and temptation. Do you recognize God is here tonight? And do you see that the God knows what we're doing? But I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't want to consider that truth. A lot of people right now, their mind is a million miles away. The last thing they want to do is recognize God sees and God knows. Because that means they're going to have to change. They would rather not think about what God sees and knows than have to go through the process of changing. But I want you to think about the sad words in Jacob's day. God was here, and I knew it not. How sad so many here can say the same thing. But I'll tell you, when the time comes, you'll know he's there when he comes again. There won't be just putting it out of your mind when he comes again, because the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You may never confess him while you're on the earth. You may never bow unto his will, but when you see him again in the clouds, you will. It'll be too late if you've never thought about him and thought about his will before then, but you still will confess him. You will bow. I remember hearing an individual talk about one time, he'll never bow to anyone. Oh, I'll tell you, you will bow. You won't have any choice in the matter. You'll bow to the great I am. The question is, when will you bow? When will you recognize the nearness of God? He's here tonight. He's inviting you to be his child. He knows your heart. He knows your motive. He knows your mind. He knows your thoughts. And tonight you can come and say, I want to be a child of his, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. And I'll tell you what, you'll be his child. And you'll be nearer to him now than ever before. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing.